is Jerry Pippin, and Jim Sparks is our guest, a phenomenal, interesting man. Another talk show host said he's the most interesting fellow he's ever had on. I think that's probably true. We have a person here. Where are you from?
Monette, Missouri.
Hey, well, that's not too far from here, but snow line was pretty close to there last night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Did you get any snow?
No.
Yeah. Okay, and your name? You can just give the first name you want to, or both.
Yeah, be correct.
Okay. Speak up here so we can hear you. Jim?
Yes, Jim, you have mentioned before that they have given us knowledge, and it's been used to make money and to make weapons, basically. With creatures that are this smart, why are they giving us knowledge before we know how to handle it?
Okay, Jim, you get the idea. He says, why now?
Well, it goes in line with the protocol thing, from what I could see. I mean, it's an excellent.
What do you mean a protocol thing?
Well, what's the wisest thing to do in respect to any group? Organized group, particularly, let's say, the human mass, organized in the sense that there's government, is the right thing to do to contact the average person and give them technology, or is the right thing to do to approach leadership in secret to see how they want to handle something like that? So, again, I'm not defending.
Kind of like the prime directive. In other words, don't interfere, but if you do, do it with certain people, and then there's always a debate about whether that. You should do that even.
That's right. Right.
Just like people say, well, you ought to leave cultures alone. Well, they're destroying themselves. We don't go to an island where the people are still cannibals and not intervene. So I wondered, as he brought up the subject, why haven't the ETs intervened? They have, I guess you say, and they didn't get the results. Greed took over by the people who they talked to.
And there's the critical mass aspect of this.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if you've had, I'm going to take numbers that are just to use numbers. I'm not saying these are exact figures.
These are example numbers, folks.
Yeah, so let's say you took 10% of the, let's say there were 1 million people scattered around the planet that they contact, the average person now. Okay, so all these people are at different levels of what they've learned and what they believe they should do environmentally speaking. So they're pulling one person at a time or several dozen at a time on a global basis. I happen to be one with the conscious memory. Another one may have a little assignment to do environmentally that might last 10 minutes. Another one might kick in that might last several days. Others, like myself, might start coming into the picture with a total conscious memory. On this side of the globe, the east side of the globe, the west side of the globe, and what I mean by critical mass, until it becomes almost like a network of here's what we should do to resolve this problem, critical mass. So it seems like it's one person at a time or it's one leader at a time, but I know the minds that are behind all of this, if I'm making sense here, know that it'll get to a point where it'll all have one.
Well, yeah, it's like an example we use in broadcasting when you talk about paying attention to small details because they end up getting you or killing you or making you successful. It's because even the meanest SOB in the world at his funeral has five people shows up.
Right.
So he has a sphere of influence.
Right.
And those five people go talk to people and
exactly.
On and on and
exactly.
On. So that's what
it.
You're saying.
Thank you for making it easy.
Let me ask, Mr. Monette, Missouri, did we get an answer there that you liked, or you want to follow up?
Well, one follow-up question. As I see technology develop, I see more control of the human race, and I see it destroying the planet.
Right.
You know, and this is why aren't they going after the people that are doing this?
In other words, do they not use... You said that they... everything that they did with you was not pleasant. There was punishment. So why don't they punish these people who are screwing us up?
Well, it's kind of almost the opposite philosophy because the extraterrestrials have had the technology to themselves selfishly for tens of thousands of years. Only here in the latter part, in the last 60 years, is this technology being shared with, again, black op, secret government, sanctioned, some not sanctioned. The point is, these technologies that can make a difference on this globe and its environment are now in human hands. whether we like the hands that they're in or not, whether we agree to the hands
did,
that have
did
this
they
stuff.
Give this technology willingly, or do we get it from crashes and back engineering?
There's different levels, Mr. Pippin. There's different levels.
Yeah, just call me Jerry. I feel old enough as it is.
Okay. Then I respond, okay, sir.
That's one thing I have noticed about Jim over the years. We talk on the phone even, and he's very, very polite.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so you had a good upbringing.
Well, thank you. My parents appreciate and, that.
So when they pick these people like you, they picked you. Is this a progressive thing, too? In other words, do they grab a bunch of people? Kind of like a cowboy grabs a herd of cows.
Well, that's what
cuts.
I've gotten to see lately.
Yeah.
Corral them in, so to speak. That's when I say mass abductions. Typical mass abduction, in my experience, is usually clearings in the woods.
Natural clearing, I take it.
I think they did it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it would be places that obviously that are isolated. It's usually at night. And there could be piles of people. I hate to put it that way, but they're usually sleeping. They'll either be nude or in their night clothes.
You've
totally
grabbed
paralyzed.
Them all sorts of ways, and we talked about that in Laughlin in quite vivid detail.
They put them in...
One thing I didn't quite understand, when they put you in this pile of people, are you on top of each other, just laying around, or what?
In every way, shape, and form. Usually it's an even, I could say an even layer, but most of these people are pretty much fully paralyzed, but not all of them. They've got maybe 20% movement, or half their body can move, the other half is slow. So they end up being intertwined in each other sometimes. Some of them might be rocking. And usually it's from what I've seen, it's groups of like 12 to 15 people, and then there'll be another pile of 12 to 15 people, and it's like a gathering point. And then it ends up being an environmental lesson, and they all meet together in something that's sort of like a foyer, and now they're standing when they're in there, and they're like zombie-like. So there's no real conscious awareness that they're even there. They're led by walk to an area, and they're sat in front of these monitors for this, and then they get the environmental lesson. So that would be the mass abduction. So, but that would be one clearing in the woods, where there may be, let's say, anywhere from 36 to 100 people or 36 to 50 people. But once you're on board where the work actually is, then obviously there were clearings in other places because now you're seeing several hundred or 300 or 400 people in one area. If you're representative of one episode that lasts about 2 hours, is this going on 24 hours a day? Because it could be.
So you don't know. You don't know either.
It leads me to believe. I don't think it's just one episode, and the next day they come out at the same time. I'm thinking that they're picking up tens of thousands.
It's kind of like us. We run in and record 12 shows at a time, so we don't have to keep setting up.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So I guess maybe that's true. I'd never thought of it that way. When they get you into this state, is it done by some sort of magic thought process, or do they give you something, or how does that work? Is it hypnotism? What
are we talking about, the mass thing?
Yeah.
It's there's the telepathy.
Have you ever explained how they get you to this way?
An explanation of how that? No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not privy to that. I don't know how many years it might take for something like that.
Right.
I've learned, Jerry, just to keep my mouth shut, because I'm not going to get anything by asking, and they're not going to tell me anything or anybody anything. This is what I've learned until they're ready to tell you.
Well, we've got some questions they ask, and maybe we'll get something or not. We'll find out when we come back with Jim Sparks. That's jim-sparks.com. And I'm Jerry Pippin. That's Jerry Pippin without a dash.com. Don't go away.
Major sighting here
on the 13th of March. Weird happenings in the skies over Phoenix,
and no one seems to be able to explain what it was.
And now,
suddenly, six amber orbs in a row, totally equidistant from each other, massive span across, pop up.
People say they saw strange lights.
There's a strange bright light seen over the skies of Arizona. I guess a lot of people wondering.
There are another 10,000 Arizonans who saw the same thing.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Last night, shortly after 8 p.m., hundreds, maybe thousands of Arizonans reported seeing a triangular-shaped object with three to
thousands of people saw more than stars in the night sky.
The mystery remains unsolved and controversial.
There was nothing new.
Award-winning documentary by Dr. Lynn Kitar, The Phoenix Lights, is now available from ShopJerryPippin.com. Order now. Supplies limited. We're at the end of the Ozarks in Eureka Springs. This is Jerry Pippin. This is UFO Files, a return visit with Jim Sparks. We talked to him recently in Laughlin, Nevada. And Jim lives in Las Vegas, and we'll be in Las Vegas later in the spring. We may talk to you again, Jim.
Oh, great. Great.
A lot of interesting things. Roberta Scott, our producer, asked you a question. Our on-location producer asked you a question during the break about multicultural. See, she's a liberal woman. That's why she uses those terms. Mm-hmm. Multicultural, do they pick up all the different types of people?
All shapes, sizes, and colors. You name it. And ages. So no one's left out.
Let's go back to some of the people here watching the interview and see if they have a question for you. Your name?
Jay.
Okay, Jay. And where are you from?
From Maumelle, Arkansas.
And where's that?
That's by Little Rock.
Okay. Now I've got a general idea, and so does the audience. Can you hear him, Jim?
Yes, I can. Okay.
I'm just curious, what you do, when, obviously there are skeptics who come along and probably people say things that aren't very nice to you. Right. I was just curious if people do that to your face, and how do you deal with that? I mean, you've been doing this for a long time now. Have you developed a thick skin about the skeptics?
The two ways I handle that is, for starters, right from the beginning, I've...
Starters, he slugs them. No, we're kidding. He's a gentle fellow. He probably doesn't do that. Go ahead, Jeremy.
I respect the fact that if you accept what I talk about, because all I'm doing is transferring information and giving you the information for what I've experienced. If you accept it, that's beautiful. If you do not, that's beautiful. I respect the fact that you can accept it as well as you can. And it's not unusual for people to, so to speak, from time to time throw rotten eggs and tomatoes at me, but figuratively speaking. And so I just absorb it, and it's fine.
You know, you'd make a good talk show host, because the way that people behave with us all the time. You just kind of have to take an attitude. Well, that's the way they feel. What can you do
about
it?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Let's let our man from Little Rock have a follow-up.
I'm also curious, is there a consequence for not believing, you know, that there are in religion, the consequence, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you don't go to heaven. Is there a consequence for not believing in the extraterrestrials, or does that make sense? I mean, is there a penalty if you believe but she doesn't believe?
I understand what you're
asking. Some sort of physical or spiritual consequence for that, negative.
Or positive.
I believe I understand the question. It's not based on a belief system. I personally base it, it's a good question, I base it on a fact system. There, you have individuals who have to see something to believe it. If you don't see it, how can anybody be expected to? If you do see it and you want to accept it, that's fine. If you do see it and you do not want to accept it, that's fine. That's up to each and every individual. Do you want to take part in saving this planet? You may. If you want to go along for a ride, you may. If you're negative in the whole thing, well, the results thereof aren't going to be from the ET.
Well, you know, Jim, I think putting that in the political terms we did earlier, a grassroots effort by these ETs, since they went to the leaders and they didn't get what they wanted, that's probably a good way to explain the consequences. In other words, they don't keep bothering you if you're not going to push their agenda. Right.
Well, I could say in the beginning years, I thought I didn't want anything to do with this. In fact, I didn't. Well, it's not that I was brainwashed. I just didn't understand what they were like. And and you just brought up a good point, Jerry, and it's something that just kind of goes in my mind that I'll have to register and bat around, which is the fact that maybe those who have fragmented to no memories or little memory Maybe they just didn't want to have anything to do with it, and that's the end of that. But there's other agendas as to why they pull and abduct people also.
Oh, really?
Well, of course, we know that. It could be for the hybrid thing. It could be for whatever genetic experiments.
Yeah, and we haven't really got into that on this show. We do a lot of shows about that, and when we see you in Las Vegas, we may get into that in detail.
Okay.
We only have about 10 minutes left on this show.
Okay, good.
He brought up another point, religion. ETs have any kind of religion? Nobody tried to convert you to something.
Let's bear in mind now that it's a good question. We're getting into the spiritual aspect of it. I've had face-to-face interaction for many years on board a craft in a room. Here as of late, I'm getting interaction on sightings that people get to see with me, which is really cool. Interaction and mass abductions for the environmental lessons. So there has been little to no time spent on what do you believe in or what, and things of that nature. So I can't say that they have or they do not. I do not know.
In other words, nobody's whipped out a Bible and talked to you or a Koran or anything else?
Not at this point.
But why are they concerned about the environment? Just to save the human race or what else?
I don't think so at all. I think it's a 50-50.
Well, there's got to be an agenda there. Tell me a little bit what you think.
They've been gone to and fro, you know, involving human beings on this planet for different agendas, which you said we can get into sometimes, maybe in Las Vegas, for thousands and thousands of years. There's different reasons for their own, for themselves, selfishly, why they're here and why we may be needed. Most of us have no clue, and that's the way they've wanted to keep it. But now that they're seeing a danger, a true danger, and a radical potential loss of the population in whole on the globe, they're making themselves more known. So the interest would be is good for us because, hey, we live here, and the interest is good for them because it's they're involved. There's agendas that involve human beings, and they want us to keep us here. So, no, I do not think it's for their own, because they want to save us. I think it's half and half.
They have an interest,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah,
and we're talking about one group, the Keepers.
Yeah, the Creepers, is that what I said?
Yeah.
The Creepers or the Keepers?
The
Keepers. It would be the Keepers would be, yeah, both in this case. Would be
the name itself insinuates that they're taken care of.
Yes, sir. That's it. I'm trying to define the species and tell you the different sizes, and that's kind of silly. Yes, the Keepers.
Need to read that book, folks. It's something you'll never put down. Anybody else have a question for him before we go? We got about 4 or 5 minutes. You want back to the Fort Gibson lady?
I have one question. As a parent, I look at my children as something miraculous, sacred, beautiful. Wouldn't trade them for anything and would give my life for them. You've had all these extractions. Your seed is out there and used for hybrids in your mind or who knows what. Does that make you innately sad that something that is so miraculous to me to have a child, a human, that this is being made subhuman or hybrid? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good question. I personally had an experience where I got to see their handiwork, so to speak, which was a girl, a little girl that was half me and half sort of in the extraterrestrial range.
So they took your sperm?
They took my sperm. And this individual girl, I know, was under 12 years old. She was frailer and thinner than the average human being, but she was mostly human than ET. Eyes were a little bit bigger than normal. She was telepathic.
Did she know you were her dad?
Yes, it was in an introduction. And it was one time and one time only, and that's all I needed to see. But what I saw was, I thought, a better human being. It was a human being that was more sensitive. This is an insurance plan. It was a human being that was more sensitive to the environment. It was a human being that would need less from the environment. It was a human being that was definitely quicker in thought, and she was as smart, if not smarter, than I was. Well, that may not be saying too much sometimes.
Well, I don't know. You've impressed me. You're polite and nice, so
thank you.
Even though you keep insinuating I'm an old guy, other than that, You've been a nice fellow over the months.
It's going to take me some time to get out of that one.
Basically, to answer your question, you're saying you see it as an improvement on the human race.
Yes, I do.
What happened to your daughter? Where is she now? Did she go off to some place where she has a son, or is she here on Earth?
I knew that was going to just be that one meeting, and actually there was something I wasn't too fond of, which was it was a species or a hybrid that had less emotion. More intellect, less emotion. So what I was seeing there was an insurance policy in case we fail to populate, help repopulate the planet.
But where is she now? You think?
I don't know, and I wouldn't say I don't care. I do.
Yeah,
I just know it's fine.
You'd just rather not go there.
Yeah, I know it's fine.
Physically, and
I know it's fine.
Mentally.
Yeah. She knew who I was, and I knew who she was, and I got to see some of the handiwork, and it was just great for both of us.
Well, we understand how this works with women. You know, they impregnate the fetus, and it's. But how does it work with a man? I mean, does an ET give birth to this hybrid? Or what happened? How did that happen?
I'm not sure how it came about.
Okay.
Now, there's
you don't remember the action.
Oh, I know. I remember the extraction.
Do you?
Because there was always an extraction almost after every abduction. That's
okay.
But we can't miss that one. You know,
yeah.
They don't let that opportunity slide. So semen extraction was common almost after every abduction,
so
whether I liked
words,
it or not, which I didn't in most cases.
It's almost like a veterinarian with some animals that grab the sperm while they can.
That's it. You hit it on the head.
Well, we're almost out of time. What are you going to be doing next? You're going to a conference at the end of May, I know.
That's right. We're in Nevada. The Rachel?
Oh, yeah, out at the little A&N.
Yeah.
And all of that.
I look forward to that.
Well, we may actually see you there instead
of
the week before. Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah.
We've always been threatening to do a show from little A&N and never have yet. Interesting place. You've been out there before?
Once. Visited and ate at the restaurant. There wasn't anything going on. It was like, in fact, they weren't even normally open, and they opened for us and a couple of other people just to be nice.
Well,
we had
good.
They made us a little lunch there, and, you know, I got to see the knickknacks on the wall and some of the pictures of the people who were there, and that was about it.
Try to go into Area 51?
I think I stay healthily away from trying to get in there. I think the sign says something like, they can use lethal force
or whatever. Right? Roberta Scott has been our own location producer. Jim Sparks, we thank you very much for, I guess we need to thank climate engineering or, I don't know, why your flight was delayed. Bad weather. It wasn't that bad, though.
No.
I guess they must have been somewhere.
This is a great thing that we're here
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
yep.
So it
sure
worked
is.
Out fine.
Sure did.
Fate is on our side. And we, of course, Fate Magazine is one of our sponsors. Notice how I get
go.
These plugs in. James Wortley is our technical director, and I'm Jerry Pippin. Cheers.
The year was 1970 when Jack Blanchard and Misty Morgan released their first big single hit, Tennessee Birdwalk. For the first time in the history of music, this 45 RPM single becomes available to the public in the form of a mouse pad. Made of high-quality quarter-inch rubber, this fabric-covered 8-inch mouse pad delivers your mouse a very smooth ride. For only $9.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling, your mouse pad will be rushed via USPS first-class mail. Simply click on the happy little mice and be directed to our ordering page. Hurry while this limited time offer lasts.